The reading is taken from Psalm 31, beginning at verse 5. You'll find this in the Bibles in front of you on page 559. Psalm 31. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten, as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God.
Psalm 31 has this honest approach where King David is sorely beset with sorrow, grief, and anguish, which militate against his body and his spirit, affecting his eyes, which are filled with sorrow, his body because it is wrecked by the grief he's facing, his life force, his will, feeling utterly devastated, and his strength failing to the point where his body's very framework is so compromised, he experiences his robust ability utterly failing and weakened. Much of his crises became the experience of many who fought in the World War I trenches, where not just hundreds but thousands died daily, and where not just thousands but tens of thousands suffered appalling physical injuries, mental and spiritual torments, loss of self-reasoning, even loss of faith. And with them, their families, and the dreaded telegrams from the War Office, which struck grief into countless homes from Lerwick to Kirkwall, to John O'Groats, to Cardiff, to Belfast, and to Land's End. A personal example was my grandfather, who, over age to serve, lost his younger brother without trace, my great uncle on the Somme, having previously lost their sister. Such was the grief families at home bore, often unable to ever talk about it. And that World War I time did not end wars, even though thought to be the one to end all wars, but was followed by another, and then more in Korea, Malaya, Suez, the Falklands, the Gulf, Afghanistan, Iraq, as just some examples. On Monday this week, you probably heard, as I did, Mr. Gorbachev, the ex-leader of Russia, spoke of his huge concern that the world could even now be heading into tragedy if the proliferation in nuclear weapons between the two great powers is not stemmed. An initiative he and President Reagan of the USA began in the 1980s, which many applauded. Regrettably, that has changed, with new leaders whose thinking is so wanton in their ambitions and their suspicions. 23 years after 1945, 1968 marked the very first year when no British serviceman had been killed on active service. 48 years after 1968, 2016 marked only the second year since 1945 when no further British service personnel were killed on active service. By then, we had almost become acclimatized to those many years of coffins, coming home to RAF Lynham, and passing through the Wiltshire village of Wootton Bessett, to which the Queen later accorded the title Royal. The loss has been long and deep. I was surprised to hear we currently have some 4,500 service personnel on operation in about 30 countries, many in an advisory than a combative role, nevertheless, open to risk. King David's 31st Psalm is basically a prayer for deliverance, as he finds himself in crisis, confronted not only by enemies, but by a home conspiracy so powerful, verse 13, that he even says his friends abandon him. His whole prayer here impressed itself on more than one biblical person as they too face moments of supreme crises. The psalm was drawn on by Jonah from verse 6 about the year 725 BC, during his days inside what was termed that great fish. It was drawn on later by Jeremiah from verse 13 as he prophesied during the Babylonian siege of Jerusalem in 585 BC. And that psalm was also drawn on again by no less than Jesus from the very first line of verse 5, as on the cross he commended his spirit to God as he laid down his life, having paid the full price of our sin in paying our death by his own. In verses 7 to 8 of today's passage, David, in the midst of demoralization and hopelessness, nevertheless takes hold of a seed of faith that comes to him and says to God, "I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. You have given me space to maneuver in prayer and faith." In what looks desperate, where in verse 9 he cries out, "Be merciful to me, O Lord," David there grasps an essential truth: God is for him. Particularly note what's against David in this psalm. The battery of antagonists in verse 11, made up of enemies, contempt even from neighbors, being regarded as a dread to his friends who crossed the street at even the sight of him. In verse 12, he's viewed as if dead, regarded as useless as broken pottery. He experiences, verse 13, slander aimed at him, a coup conspiracy, and plots for his assassination. Terrors, he calls them, rain at him from every side. How do you cope, let alone stand up and ever walk forward with all that baying at one's heels? But verse 14, to take note of, reveals sorrow, grief, and anguish do not have the last word. David in verse 12 may be forgotten and abandoned by his friends, but he is not forgotten by God, for he declares, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God." He is finding out in the midst of crises, God is there for him. And he is activating it by declaring it to God in faith and in prayer. There is godly encouragement for remembrance, to be a vein both of comfort and hope. With it is the greater encouragement God offers in Jesus Christ through the cross, that we can then equally say with David, as in verses 7, 9, and 14, God is for me. And in prayer for our dearest, for friends, for neighbors, for colleagues, yes, even for enemies, we are also to cry out to God in faith prayer, holding them and ourselves before him, that by his grace we ask for new strength through the Holy Spirit to live out our trust in God, to walk in Jesus the paths God's word teaches and commends us to honor and keep. May God bless that psalm to us today and the message it gives.